I want us to be thinking about what God would have us to say out of Daniel chapter 6. If you've been coming on Sunday night, you know we've been preaching through the book of Daniel and looking at the character of Daniel and the lifestyle of Daniel. And today I decided to take one of his stories, one of his chapters, and bring it into Sunday morning, because I think there is one discipline that as Christians, all of us should be engaging in on a regular basis. It is one of the basics of the Christian life. You know, when you go to school and you learn there's certain basics of diets, there are certain types of food you need in order to survive. And this is one of those spiritual diets that we need in order to be all that God wants us to be, in order for us to survive as believers. And that is, we need to have a regular quiet time. We need to have a daily quiet time. We need to spend time alone with God. If the only time we pray is when we come to church, it is not sufficient. If the only time we spend with God is an hour on Sunday morning, it is not sufficient. The example that Jesus gave was he went aside to solitary place to pray. He had the Garden of Gethsemane where he took his disciples, and there's every indication, we know the last night he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, but there's every indication that this was a normal place, a normal routine. When they were in the region, they were in the area, Jesus and his disciples went aside to this place to pray. And so I want to talk about how to have a daily quiet time today. In Daniel chapter 6, and if you would stand with me, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground to accuse Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows: "King Darius, live forever. As the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the high officials and governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Verse 10, I like this. "Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had his windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously." Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you with grateful hearts. We thank you for the example of Daniel and his faithfulness. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts, that we may be men and women of God that you want us to be. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I've said, we all need to have an established time alone with the Lord each and every day. And I want to ask this question this morning. How do we establish that quiet time? Some of you already experienced this, and so it's old news to you. But I pray that we can encourage others along the way. First of all, you need to establish a time to pray. You need to establish a time to pray. Notice Daniel, before the law was passed and after the law was passed, he had a time to pray. Morning, noon, and night. 3 times a day, he had a time to pray. The psalmist talks about he had a time to pray. He says, early in the morning, Lord, I will seek you. Now, sometimes people ask me, Pastor, when's the best time to have a quiet time? Whenever it's quiet. And for some people, for many years, as a young person, I found my evenings was the best time for my quiet time. Before I go to bed at night, I would sit down and I would spend time alone with God. And so evenings became a good time. But as I got older, I discovered evenings was not a good time. There was too many distractions. There's too many thoughts running through my head. There's too many things going on in my life. And I discovered as I got older that the morning time was the best time to spend time alone with God. So everybody, it doesn't matter whether it's morning, noon, or night, or somewhere in between, everyone needs a time to pray, a time to seek God's face. As part of that time to pray, it needs to be a part of your daily routine. You get up in the morning. Does everybody brush their teeth in the morning? Shame on you if you don't. You have a routine and regular routines of life. There's certain things we do every day when we get up. I brush my teeth before I go out the door. I make sure that my hair is combed most of the time. I usually, when I'm coming to work, I make sure that I shave. I have a daily routine that I go through. And we do that in regards to our hygiene. We do that in regards to our breakfast or whatever it may be. Some of you have to have a cup of coffee every morning. Your day does not even begin without a cup of coffee. Some of you have medication that you have to take. It's a part of your routine, and you do it at the same time every day. You make sure it's a part of your routine, and you do that so you can have good health. Well, if you want to have good spiritual health, you need to make time alone with God a part of your daily routine. It needs to be just like your medication. It needs to be there morning after morning, day after day, evening after evening. You need to have that routine where you spend time alone with God. Daniel did that. It's amazing to me that Daniel was a politician of sorts, but he was a faithful politician. And the story here indicates that Daniel served among a bunch of politicians who were corrupt in every way, but they could not find any reason to accuse Daniel because there was no corruption in his life. And the only thing they could find to accuse him about was his spiritual walk with God. Would be to God, that would be true for all of us. That the only thing people would have to criticize, oh, he spends too much time in prayer. She spends too much time in prayer. You know, that person doesn't do anything without talking to God about it. Can you believe that? I wish people would accuse me of that. I wish people would accuse our church of that. They spend too much time praying about everything. They can't make a decision without asking God about it. Well, if that's the only criticism people have of us, praise God. There's nothing better to be said of us than to accuse us of our spiritual walk with God. We need a daily routine. But a part of that daily routine, it needs to be unhindered. It needs to be unhindered. Daniel had that time to pray, and he was not going to let anything in his busy schedule, and he had a busy schedule, but he did not let anything hinder him from spending time alone with God. The most important part of his day was time alone with God. So morning, noon, and night, it did not matter what his schedule was, morning, noon, and night, he had an unhindered time with God. He did not allow the busyness of his day. Now remember, he was one that the king said is so faithful in his affairs, he said, I'm going to appoint him as ruler over the entire nation. You don't think he was a busy dude? He was busy. But he did not let the busyness of his schedule hinder him from spending time alone with God. We shouldn't allow nothing to hinder us in spending time alone with God. We need an unhindered routine. And even when the law was put in place for 30 days, Daniel, you're not supposed to pray to your God. You can only talk to King Darius about any requests that you have. Daniel says, forget that. I'm going to obey God, not man. And he went up and prayed. He was not going to let any law or any person or anything hinder him from spending time alone with God. When is your time to pray? In the busyness of our schedules, if we do not take time to pray, we will neglect to pray. And I want to ask you this, when are you most unhindered? That's when you need to spend time alone with God. Andrew Murray wrote, "Time spent in prayer will yield more than that given to work. Prayer alone gives work its worth and its success. Prayer opens the way for God Himself to do His work in us and through us. Let our chief work as God's messengers be intercession. In it we secure the presence and power of God to go with us." Richard Foster said, "We will never have time for prayer. We must make time. We will never have time for prayer. We must make time." And I've discovered it to be true. Prayer is so important. The devil will do everything he can to get you to do good things, to substitute the good things for the best things. And one of the best things you can do in your life is spend time alone with God. You cannot have His presence, His sense of direction in your life unless you spend time alone with Him. Names in history, church history, such as Martin Luther, John Wesley, David Brainer, George Fox, Adoniram Judson, and John Hyde are well known to those who have studied church history concerning their prayer lives. The impact of these men has been significant. And a lot of it can be traced, their significance can be traced to their practice of prayer. Martin Luther said, "I have so much business to conduct that I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." John Wesley declared, "God does nothing but in answer to prayer. You have not because you ask not." Isn't that what the scripture says? His daily devotion of 2 hours in prayer demonstrated the depth of his conviction. David Brainer wrote in his journal, "I love to be alone in my cottage where I can spend much time in prayer." William Penn said of George Fox, "Above all, he excelled in prayer. The most awful, living, reverent frame I've ever felt or beheld, I must say, was his in prayer." Adoniram Judson withdrew from his business and company 7 times a day for the purpose of prayer. He began at 9, continued at 9, again at 12, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and at midnight. John Hyde was known as Praying Hyde. And it is said that after he died in his bedroom, people went into that hardwood floor beside of his bed, and there were literally 2 grooves worn into the hard floor, where he had knelt and prayed every day. You could see where his knees had been placed day after day, and the hours and the fervency that he spent in prayer. John Knox, Queen said, "Don't tell me that man's praying again. Don't tell me that man's praying again, because he shakes the kingdom with his prayers." Oh, to God that we would be that kind of prayer warrior. Like Daniel, who shook and shaped the kingdom through his prayer life. May God use us to shake His kingdom and the kingdom of this world for the cause of Christ. We need to establish a time of prayer. But not only do we need a time of prayer, if we're going to have a daily quiet time, you need a place of prayer. All of us have special places in our lives. A place where you first kissed your wife or husband. I know exactly where it was. No, the first, right on the lips, wasn't it? Yes. No, I can take you to the place. I can. It's a school campus. I can. I know exactly where it was. I even remember it fondly. I fell in love almost immediately, and that first kiss sealed the deal. You remember those special places? Place where you kissed your wife or your husband. The place where you proposed to her. I remember that too. Remember exactly where she was sitting. I remember exactly the song I sang to her. I remember asking her 5 weeks after I met her, "Will you marry me?" You have that place you like to sit and just enjoy life. Maybe it's together with your spouse or your family or your friends. There's special places in your home that you have and in your yard where you enjoy the beauty of God's creation and breathe in the glorious life that God has given you. When I was a child, I liked to go out in the hayloft of our barn during the spring rain. Nobody else around. I just liked to climb up into the hayloft, sit on the bales of hay, stretch out, listen to that rain fall against the metal roof of the barn, and just talk to God. It was a place where I was alone with Him. And as a young person, I could just talk to Him about my dreams and aspirations. As a teenager, I remember that rock house beside the lake. And I'd ride my horse or my bicycle down to the lake, and I would sit underneath that rock house. Rain or not, it didn't matter. It was always cool when the rain would fall because you would be in the dry. And you could just see the rain fall on the lake and make the little ripples across the lake. Just me and God alone with Him. Spending time in that special place, talking to Him about my life and what He had in store for me. As a young man in college, I loved going over to Cumberland Falls and listen to the roar of the raging river. See the water fall over that falls and just spend time alone talking to God. As a middle-aged man, it was on my back porch listening to the bullfrogs croaking. We have a special place, all of us do in our lives. For me now, since I've been in Texas, I got a place on my back porch. And when the weather's not too hot, and even sometimes when it is, I love to go out early in the morning and just sit in the chair and talk to God. And when the weather's too hot, I got a substitute chair inside where I can sit and talk with God. And there's something special about those places in my life. It's as if God meets me there every morning. We need that place of prayer. It needs to be a quiet place, a place where we can spend time. And a lot of times we think prayer is just simply us talking to God, but we need a quiet place so that we can hear God talk to us. We need to hear God talk to us. We need a quiet place from all the distractions. And sometimes when kids are home, especially during the summer, it's awful hard to get that quiet place, and that's why you got to get up early while they're still in bed. Or maybe you got to stay up late after they've already gone to bed. But you need that place, so it's a quiet place. It also needs to be a solitary place. Now, there's nothing wrong with having times when you pray together as a family, pray together as a husband and wife. I think it's important that you do that. But you need time alone with God, just you and God, a solitary place. Jesus went alone to pray. And sometimes He would have His disciples close by, but He went a ways away from them, even still, so He could spend time alone with God. So you need a quiet place. You need a solitary place. You need an appointed place where an altar, where you can meet God and put your heart in His hands. Take your request to the Lord and pour out your heart to Him. Not only do you need a place to pray, you also need a plan to pray. You need a plan to pray. See, Daniel, when he prayed, he had a reason for praying morning, noon, and night. He opened up the windows of his room and he looked towards where? Jerusalem. Because he prayed for the restoration of Jerusalem. He prayed that their captivity in Babylon would not be forever. He prayed that God would deliver them from captivity, that He would restore the nation of Israel. He had a plan as he prayed. He had a purpose as he prayed. He wanted God to know what his heart was. And he prayed with fervency. And he was not going to allow anything to distract him. And I want to say this. If you have a plan to pray, you need to always include as part of that plan reading the Bible as you pray. Because a lot of times when we pray, we talk to God and He's sort of like our spiritual Santa Claus, where we give to Him everything that we want for Christmas and more. We give Him our wish list, and we hope that if we're not naughty, we'll get everything on our wish list. If we're nice, we'll get everything on our wish list. And listen to me, prayer is two-way communication. It's not just you talking at God, talking to Him as your spiritual Santa Claus, asking Him to give you everything you want. It is listening to His voice, being in tune with His voice, hearing His cry, His call in your life, and letting you know that He wants you to join Him in His activity, in His life, in building and advancing His kingdom to bring honor and glory to His name. God wants you to join what He's up to. And when Daniel prayed, he not only prayed, he prayed with a purpose. He had a plan that included God's purpose for his own life and for the nation of Israel. He knew the scripture. He knew what the prophets had said. He knew that God had said that 70 years you'll be in captivity and then you'll return. And because he knew the scripture, he prayed with purpose that the scripture would be fulfilled. When you pray, read your Bible and pray with purpose. Understand God's plan for your life and for the life of your church. Understand that God wants to use you to advance the kingdom of God. You see, when he prayed according to the Word of God. And when you pray according to the Word of God, you can always know that you're praying according to the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God, according to 1 John chapter 5, we know this, that all things we ask according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of Him. You want to get your prayers answered? Pray according to the Word of God. Pray according to the will of God. And then allow Him to use you. We need to talk to God, but we also need to let God talk to us. We need to incorporate prayer and Bible reading. I spend half of my time in my quiet time reading the Scripture. I want God to speak to me, and then I discover that a lot of times what God has spoken to me out of His Word, a lot of what I pray about is what God has spoken to me about in His Word. As I've read and listened to His voice. So you need a plan as you pray. And that plan should involve reading scriptures. Pollster George Gallup has done a survey on the maturity of American Christians. Although some 53% of the general public say religion is important, he found only 13% live by the faith they say they profess. Gallup said there's not a spiritual vacuum in our country, but spiritual chaos. According to his research, Americans need instruction badly in Bible study, prayer techniques, and how to share the gospel. He said, people are trying to be Christian without the Bible. And I found that to be true. People are trying to be Christians without knowing what the Bible says about what a Christian is. And listen, a lot of us are trying to make up our own Bible, our own standard of revelation. Our own understanding of who God is. And let me tell you, this Bible is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. It is perfect. It is God's perfect revelation of Himself to mankind. And you're not going to improve on what He's told us in His Word. Build your life upon the Word of God. Follow its truths. And if you do that, God will use you. God will bless you. And you'll bring honor and glory to Him. Nick Thomas found himself at the age of 47 unemployed and under tremendous financial pressure. Though he had had a successful career in the Air Force and insurance business, some reversals had set him back and left him with no place to go. His wife Liz made their situation a matter of prayer. She was in one church one morning praying about their dilemma. She thought she could almost hear the words, make the mustard. Her family had a mustard recipe from Russia, and every Christmas she made gift jars of mustard for her friends. Nick and Liz decided to listen to the voice that she heard in her prayer time. She prepared a substantial amount of mustard. They packaged it, called on a local cheese shop. The manager tasted it, immediately bought out their inventory. Within 3 months, they had cracked the highly competitive New York major deli market. Because the Thomases committed their troubles to prayer and looked expectantly to God for guidance, he gave them direction and brought them out of their poverty to a place of blessing. As a church, we need to pray. As a people, we need to pray. We need to pray individually, but we also need to pray together. And that's why, as your pastor, I've tried to focus us from time to time in our morning services to pray for the needs that have been given to us through the week. I want to be known as a praying church, as a praying people. People hear about South Avenue Baptist Church, I want them to say, oh, that's the praying church. Listen, there's a lot of people that have better facilities than we have. They have better programs than we have. They have better preachers than you have. But with God's help, nobody can outpray us. Nobody could outpray us. We can pray as well as anybody. And I pray to God that we would pray as much and as well as anyone. Ron Dunn, one of my favorite preachers, and he's not one of those guys that you can say amen a whole lot to. He's one of those guys when he preach, you go, oh me, oh me. It's like he just throws little darts into your heart, little spiritual darts into your heart, because he convicts you when he preaches. And I heard him preach one time, and he made this statement, and it stuck with me. He said, I discovered that prayer is the secret weapon of the kingdom of God. Listen to how he uses these words. It is like a missile that can be fired at any spot on earth. Travel undetected at the speed of thought and hit its target every time. I love that. I discovered prayer is the secret weapon of the kingdom of God. It is like a missile that can be fired toward any spot on earth, travel undetected at the speed of thought, and hit its target every time. We need to be people of prayer. Max Lucado shares a story in his book called The Applause of Heaven. He shares the story of a dying man who knew the vitality of prayer. A few days before his death, a minister visited with him in the hospital. Next to the man's bed was an empty chair. So the minister asked, if anybody had been to visit him recently, and the old man smiled and said, I place that chair there every morning. I place Jesus on that chair, and I talk to him. He went on to explain, years ago, a friend told me that prayer was as simple as talking to a good friend. So every day I pull up a chair, invite Jesus to sit, and we have a good talk. Several days later, that man died in the hospital. His daughter had been sitting with him but slipped out a few hours because he seemed to be resting so peacefully. When she returned to the room, she found him dead, but he was not in bed. His head was not resting on his pillow, but instead he had slipped out of his bed. He rested his head on that empty chair, and he went to sleep in the lap of Jesus. That was a man who knew how to pray. That was a man who knew how to connect with God. Oh God, help us to be people of prayer. Let us follow the example of Daniel and be men and women of prayer. Let's have a place of prayer. Let's have a purpose to our prayer. Let's have that quiet time of prayer that God would use us and speak to us, and we would hear his voice. We can accomplish his purpose and his plan for our lives. Let's connect to what he wants for us to do as the people of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Help us to be men, women of prayer. Help us to live for Jesus until he comes. Help us to share our faith. But also, Lord, help us to be a light in the midst of darkness. And as we pray, we spread your light. Help us to do nothing in our own power and our own strength, But help us to do it in your power and strength. And we connect to that power when we pray. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation this morning is a little bit different. We always have an opportunity. If you want to join our church, you can do that. If you feel the need to invite Christ into your heart and life, or if you've done that and you want to make that public this morning, we invite you to come and do that as well. If you just need to pray about something, we're here. The pastors will be here at the front to pray with you about any situation in your life. But I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. You don't have to do it publicly, but just maybe do it in your heart to the Lord. If you don't have a place of prayer, you don't have a time of prayer, would you this morning, would you just talk to God during this invitation time and say, God, where would you want me to make my altar? Where would you want me to make that place of prayer? Where would you want me to spend that time? What time of the day do you want me to spend with you? And just like you have, many of you have iPhones, you've got those iPhones and you got those calendars scheduled. Just calendar your time alone with God and turn off the phone, turn off the TV, turn off every distraction and meet with God. Would you commit to do that this morning? You don't have to make that public, but I would encourage if you make that decision this morning to share it with a friend or a church family member and let them know the decision you made. Let's stand together. If you have any other decisions, you come right now. Come quickly.